Beeman, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
They be on the deals, Nick.
It's good to be with you today. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling in. 888-957-9570 is a number for a day where we want to hear from you. We want to talk with you about what is happening in the world right now. And it is amazing that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is today is so prophetic. I mean, looking back at the conversation he was trying to start, and maybe how he tried to start that conversation is what tripped up the conversation, but the message that he was trying to have, the message that he is trying to that he was trying to send is one that, you know, fell on deaf ears in many instances. Certainly the NFL. It seems just comical to watch the NFL, you know, issue statements about what might have happened, what might have been done, what could have been done, or what should be happening, when they probably, you know, the largest tool for this conversation, and I mean not tool like an insult, but someone who could have furthered the conversation, who tried to start the conversation, has been so minimalized by the league. And it's like now they're kind of they're getting it a little. The whole thing.
They're not getting it, though. That's the thing, is that we all know they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And that's why every single person who read that, who pays any attention, rolled their eyes, because it's lip service to a cause they've never cared about. And in fact, have specifically taken the other side of over and over and over again. And, you know, I also think. Not to debate, because I know you're not suggesting otherwise, but Colin Kaepernick is not that prophetic. This is a thing that well predates him and sadly has continued unabated since he was blackballed from the NFL. And, you know, we've talked somewhat as three white guys discussing this issue about, look, we're going to specifically go out of our way to listen to black voices today, to do what we can to have people on as guests who can speak to the actual feelings that are involved here from the perspective of actually understanding it. We can never understand what people go through, but I can tell you this weekend how much time I've spent thinking about even exclusively the part of it as a parent. Damon, you talked on Friday, I believe it was, about what we can do as parents in raising sons in our specific two cases that are aware of the privilege they receive and that understand what other people go through and try to be empathetic and human and decent. And I thought so much this weekend as a parent about how much harder the job is for a black parent. Because of all the things we're going to have to teach our sons, I'm never going to have to teach my son about how when he's driving, he needs to worry about being pulled over because of the color of his skin. Or he needs to worry that if he is pulled over, he could be shot because of the color of his skin. I'm never going to have to deal with a kid who comes home crying because someone called him a racial slur in the park for no reason. And those are just some of the most obvious, easy things to point out. But there are countless things in everyday life that people of color deal with that we'll never understand and I'll never have to prepare my child for. And that in and of itself kept me awake half the weekend.
But it's not about teaching your son how to be prepared for that, but to understand what it is. So, you know, think about, you know, basically it's about teaching your kids, you know, look, this is the world they live in, and you need to know it too, because observing is no longer enough.
Of course.
I'm not trying to you know, undercut your message or say you're not doing enough. This is the lesson that we've been putting off and putting off and putting off. And finally, we're now getting it full in the face. And it's not because a Target 10 miles away from us got vandalized. It's because we are now looking directly into the face of organized, systematic government terror. It's more complicated than that. And that's what your kids have to know, is that it's not the part that you don't know. It's the part that you have to know as we go forward.
Of course, that's all true. But I'm trying to talk about a different thing, which is the other side of it. And of course, that stuff I'll have to teach my child when he can speak. But I'm just talking about this weekend and trying to process what we're seeing all around the country and around the world.
Right.
That's one of the things I spent a lot of time thinking about. And I think one of the things you said there, Ray, is maybe the most important thing we can talk about today. And Damon, I think you mentioned it in the open, that there's no time for to choose something that we talked a lot about recently. There's no time for Republicans buy shoes too anymore. That is not where we're at in America at this time. And There are to a degree two ways to look at this, either as a human being or not. And it's no longer okay to be quiet. Being an ally means speaking out about this stuff with whatever platform you have. And you can't, I just don't see how you can be a good person and be okay with the repeated killings of specifically of black men in this country that we continue to see.
And not that this issue needed a multiplier of any way, shape, or form, but it has one. It really does. Remember what we were doing before all this happened? Remember a little something called COVID-19?
Yeah.
I mean, that has not gone away. I know we haven't talked about it, and you haven't seen it on CNN in 72 hours, and you're not reading nearly the headlines that were attached to it, but it's still there and it's still happening. And if you had to come up with a way to take whatever shelter in place might have done to contain a spread and just throw out what might have been 2 months of positive progress, you know, have every city in the world have pockets of people screaming at each other, point blank at each other's face. And you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm so sick and tired of that just being the accepted, well, that's how things work. But that's how this is going to work too. And how it starts getting better is a nuanced conversation that, you know, we need to have. No one's going to come up with the right answer today. We will not have the solution by 6 p.m. this evening. There is no right answer. There is no right thing to do. And Ray, you are right. There is a systemic issue that is bigger than any kitchen table conversation. But that's all that Matt and I can do with our children at this time, is have a kitchen table conversation. And it does need to start at home. And hopefully that feeling that comes out of a home goes into how everyone out of that home deals with the people that they deal with when they're outside of their own communities, and the world gets better just one drop at a time. Because there is no sweeping magical wave the wand and now people who used to not think like you think like you. It doesn't happen. We've been going through this for years, for decades, and the lack of change is evident all around us. 888-957-9570. Russ is in Pleasanton. Thank you for the call, Russ. What do you got for us?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Sorry, I'm really nervous, angry, frustrated, scared. But I hope I do kind of have a solution. And it's with reform, you know? The real problem is behind drug culture and how people involved in drugs are demonized, you know, and looked at poorly. If You know, people have to do what they have to do. I'm a recovering drug addict. If all drugs were legalized, we would be able to use the extra funding towards
education. Russ, there's an awful lot of white people who take drugs, who abuse drugs, who deal with drugs, who don't get shot when they get pulled over for rolling a stop sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not about drugs.
I mean, I appreciate your perspective. I really do. And if you wanted to say that the problem has to do with for-profit incarceration, well, now you have my full attention. Because there is an element of this that is completely sinister. And you got to know that some white guy sitting behind a mahogany desk is making more money this paycheck with every black face behind bars. Why are there so many black faces behind bars? Well, because
on the funding,
it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier for a guy without money to get lost in the system, or a guy without means to get lost into a system. Go ahead, Russ. We'll let you finish up.
I've beaten a lot of cases solely on the fact that I'm white. It wasn't fair. You know, I've walked away from situations where I was with my black buddy and he went to jail and I didn't because my driver's license said Pleasanton and I'm white.
Right. It's but Russ, here's fair, the thing you need to think about is that is an aspect of racism that is being reflected in that case by how the criminal justice system handles drug offenses. And there's no doubt that racism.
And think about all the
part
money.
Of, and Russ, yeah. Hold on. Part of systemic racism, a huge part of it, is the criminal justice system. But it goes beyond drugs, and it goes beyond the criminal justice system. And the thing that, if you, I read a tremendous article on The Athletic today. I don't know if either of you caught it, where sort of a series of short pieces basically combined from various writers of color talking about experiences they've had, you know, going through racism essentially in various different ways and the various different things that it's done to their perspective in their life. And these stories have many things in common. None more than obviously they're all being racially profiled in each story in some way, but they don't have everything in common and they exist in all sorts of different ways at different times from different institutions and different people. And that's, I think, needs to remain the focus as we talk about this is that, yeah, there's drugs. Yeah, there's lots of stuff, but the problem here is there is a racism issue in this country specifically.
And more calls are certainly a huge part of today's show. One of the calls we put out is to our colleague here at 95.7 The Game, who you just listened to from noon to 2 o'clock, Bonte Steiny and Guru. Bonte Hill, good enough to spend a little more time in front of a microphone today. And we really appreciate that, Bonte, because, you know, I'd like to think that Ray, Matt, and I can talk about this, but we certainly cannot talk about this from a black man's perspective. And we just simply cannot. And so knowing that you're someone who minces no words, can you tell us what you've seen this weekend and how it's affected you personally?
Boy, Damon Radokoski, man, I miss seeing you guys in the studio. It's good to talk to you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk on Drive Time with you guys and the visuals and the videos and the photographs of this past weekend, man. It's just, it was disturbing, but it's a reaction from a bigger issue, an issue that's been going on in this country for a number of years, long before we all got on this planet, all before we were all able to walk and talk and do what we do. All it took was for the Minnesota PD to react and within 24 hours to do something about these cops having a knee on poor George Floyd's neck. You know, they took away George Floyd. They took away, you know, his son and his daughter and all his kids looking at George Floyd, seeing their daughter murdered on TV and on video. And so the reaction we got over the weekend is a lot of people just fed up with what's been going on in this country for over 400 years or even more than that. fed up about the lack of action, fed up from the leadership at top, up top, fed up from just being disrespected over and over and over and being lied to that their lives matter, that Black lives matter, when it doesn't. It really doesn't when you see the way they get beat up and guys getting shot by other people and nothing's happening. And you go back to Rodney King when I was a kid and seeing Rodney King beat up like that and these cops walking out of the courthouse not guilty. It's just, it's a joke. And so I just felt broken, fellas. I felt broken for the first time in a long time. It broke me. Like sports, you know, there's been games that's broken me and made me sad and this and that. But this past weekend broke me. It broke me. It felt like rock bottom. It really, really did. But at the same time, it gave me a little hope that people are starting to come together and figure it out. And that maybe, just maybe, this is the start of a change. Maybe it's the start of something better. Because damn, I'd be damn if 15 years from now we're still going through this stuff. Or 20 years from now we're still going through this. But fellas, I was broken this weekend. I was absolutely broken to where I watched more CNN this past weekend than I have in my entire life. I'm just broken by what continues to go on in this country and people faking like they care about what's going on in this country. It's just got to stop.
I'm just going to amplify your message. This is not just 25 years. This goes back to the 50s. This goes back to the 30s. This goes back to the teens. It's almost like it's America's default position. And the fact that Black people are again rising up and saying this is enough. I mean, the only thing that's changed is that the people who run this country are willing to now, you know, threaten to call out the army. I mean, it's almost like a military coup, George Floyd in 9 days has now been supplanted by David McAtee. I mean, that's the frightening thing is that in the face of all this rage, another innocent Black man was killed because someone in position of power with a gun decided, yeah, I'm good with doing this. I mean, that's the thing. George Floyd is no longer the most recent high-profile victim of unconscionable violence. And until, and it's not even a matter of until. It's, way too much is enough. It's not enough is enough. It's way too much is enough. And frankly, I don't, at this point, I don't want to hear anybody tell me, gee, isn't it too bad that, this store got looted or that, or that thing right. burned to the ground. It's not important anymore. It's either you put people ahead of property or we are no longer a nation worth caring about.
You're absolutely right, Ray. Spot on. Well said. And it is sad that we've already forgotten about George Floyd. Hell, we already forgot about George Floyd. And I say we as a country this past weekend. Think about all the headlines and the narratives where the original point, kind of like Colin Kaepernick kneeling and protesting, the original point was already forgotten about. This all started, and the burning and the looting and the protesting, and it all started because a cop decided that having his knee pressing up against somebody's neck for nearly 10 minutes, dying right there, it all started from that, and it was already forgotten about, Ray. It was already forgotten about by Thursday, Friday. All of a sudden it was, oh man, look at these looters. Look at these quote unquote thugs. Look at all these. It was already forgotten about. So you're absolutely right that it's on to the next one, right? It's almost like we've been conditioned in this country, especially as Black people, as to ask who's next. What's going to be the next? Who's going to be the next victim? What's going to be the next one? What's going to be the next cop or the police department who goes out there and tries to hide behind the fact that they kill somebody. Thank the heavens for camera phones. And even with camera phones, it's still, people are still slow to react. Yeah, unbelievable.
Thank God for the camera phone. You're so right about that. But, you look at what happened in Minnesota. They didn't prosecute the officer for days. The first autopsy was like, I think they came back and they said he died of bad cholesterol. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, an independent autopsy today said it was murder by asphyxiation. And maybe had that conclusion been reached publicly 72 hours ago, you know, half of America wouldn't have spent so many hours looting, burning, rioting. We have, you know, you just did 3 hours, man. You officially gave it the office right today. Thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it, Bonte. You know, there's a lot of things we can be, but we can't be a man who's had your perspective. When it comes to the protests and what's going on in the Bay Area, what do you say about all that?
Just protest peacefully, and I think a lot of people have done that. You know, the mom-and-pop stores like JJ and JJ, who owns Bonita Taqueria, they don't deserve to have their buildings torn down. But I'll be honest with you guys. I'll say right here, I could care less about Target and Louis Vuitton. Now, the people who are looting those places just trying to come up, just to come up, it's shameful. It's shameful that they're doing that. But it's a bigger issue here. It's a bigger issue that we need. As a country, man, when is it just going to stop? Is this finally the breaking point to where we can move on and say, you know what? Police brutality should not be accepted here. It should not be accepted. But I just want people to protest peacefully. But then even when you see people protesting peacefully, they're getting rubber pellets shot at them. You know what I'm saying? They're getting tased and pulled out of their cars. So it's just, and when you got leadership from the top who is basically egging this situation on and egging these actions on, it's embarrassing, and it gives a guy like me, honestly, it gives a guy like me no hope that it's going to change. I need to have hope. I need to have hope for, you know, my future family. I need to have hope for my other black brothers and sisters. I need to have hope as a country, but it's tough to have hope when the same thing continues to happen over and over and over. And it's like we've protested before. They've had protests for Martin Luther King protested, and look what happened to him, you know? He protested, and look what happened to him. Ever heard of a thing called Bloody Sunday? You know, Blood Sunday, 99 years to the day yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We know what happened. There were over 300 African-Americans got killed, and their businesses got burned down for trying to make a dollar and trying to build up the community. So it's like, what is the answer? I don't have the answer. A lot of people don't have the answer. I wish it was easy. It's just, hey, let's go out and vote, and let's get the right people in place. But is that going to help? I don't know, man. So I don't have a solution. I could just try to do my part and try to help make a change and try to educate people. And hopefully this is the start of something fresh. This is the turning point in this country to where unarmed black people and unarmed minorities do not get killed for having a counterfeit $20 bill. I mean, it's just ridiculous, Damon. It really is. So hopefully these protests can finally hit home for certain people. But, man, I really, really do have my doubts.
Thanks for coming on with us today, man. We really do appreciate it, and we can't wait to see you again, get back to normal in so many different ways. Thanks a lot, pal.
Absolutely. Damon Radokolsky, take care, man. Miss you guys.
Bonte, every midday here on 95.7 The Game, their show was outstanding today. We really thank him for doing a little more with us this afternoon. We're going to hear from Guru a little bit later on. Mark Spears is going to join us coming up at 3 o'clock. Mark had an Instagram Live conversation with Steven Jackson, who you all know by now knew George Floyd personally, and the two of them almost look like twin brothers. So a very, very powerful conversation that Mark Spears had with Steven Jackson. We'll talk to him about that and about everything else that's going on. We're coming on back to talk to you today too. 888-957-9570 is the number. It is good to have you here on a day where everyone's just trying to listen and just be better to each other. That's what we need to be. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, still open to serve the community that they love.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
I think an awful lot of you know that we have moved our text line over to match up with our call-in number. So now if you want to text the show, all you got to do is send that text to 888-957-9570. The old text line is now inactive, so forget about it and never speak of it again. We're here, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, on a very difficult day to just have a fun sports show. Number one, there really isn't any sports right now. And number two, the rest of the things happening in the country are so big, obvious, and scary and urgent that we need to talk about that today. We've got Mark Spears joining us in just a little bit. Mark obviously does a great job covering the NBA for ESPN and the Undefeated. Today on his Instagram Live page, he had a conversation with Steven Jackson, who knew George Floyd personally. The two of them could be doppelgangers for each other. They really could be. They look like identical twins almost. But here is a slice of that conversation that Mark Spears had with Captain Jack earlier today.
People tired. Everybody's had enough. How many times is it going to happen? If we don't make a stand now, you know, we've seen too many, Mark. We've seen too many. Two, people ready to take a stand for something bigger than them because it's a new generation. This younger generation didn't grow up in the slave days. You know what I'm saying? These youngers are growing up where they loving each other. They on Xbox with 10 different races playing Call of Duty all day.
Yeah,
so they don't understand the hate. All they understand is love. And this younger generation want to see something different. You know what I'm saying? And that's the biggest thing. The younger generation want to see something different. And I love the fact that they're standing together. But at the same time, we got to be smarter and don't fall for the trick bag. Right now, they're a perfect example. In Atlanta, there's no construction downtown Atlanta. I live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But at midnight, you see a pallet of bricks, just loose bricks sitting in the middle of downtown for people to throw. Why is that there? We know in Atlanta, a lot of celebrities live in Atlanta, and most of the people in Atlanta are black. And Atlanta has really built that city up. So why would we tear it down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we can't fall for the trick bag. I think we got to stay on course of what we're trying to do. And the fact that the whole world is listening to George, I think that they've seen it. Everybody had to see it. And for it to be blatant like that, and don't nobody get arrested the same day, I think that's why it's taking off and the world supporting him.
Powerful words, man. Powerful stuff. Mark Spears is going to be joining us at the top of the hour. Really, really something else there from Steven Jackson. And the point about those bricks showing up, and I'm sure an awful lot of you have seen that video, that is the difference between what is going on now and what happened then. You have people weaponizing the protests for their own agenda. Again, talking about cops abusing black people, that's not going to happen from the top. But Antifa. Yeah, that's really not what the problem is here. But if that's what you want to focus on, okay, sure. You know, there are those out there who wanted this, who need a sense of racial disruption and uncomfort in America to make sure that reelection is a path that they can see. And you are looking at a sabotage of peaceful protests, a protest that might have gone a little left of peaceful or right of peace, whatever. You know, I'm not trying to be political there. But, you know, instead of being all the way peaceful, one or two windows get broke. We're seeing what looks to be undercover cops with batons breaking windows. There seems to be so many sinister forces of malicious messaging working against what is clearly a malicious message just based on its own. And it's like nothing we've ever quite experienced before. This does have a different flavor to it than Ferguson, than any other moment, than the Rodney King riots, than stuff we've been through together before. What Steven Jackson said about a younger generation, I do hope he is right, and I do hope that that is part of the path out of this, that young people will not tolerate what other generations may have before.
It's not only just a matter of voting. It's a matter of being aware on a daily basis that when you have essentially people in power who dismiss and even loathe those who aren't in power, eventually the system becomes so brittle that it cannot hold. And when you throw in the fact that people have been inside for 2 months, you throw that onto what's been a pretty incendiary mix for the last 5 years, and now you double down with what could have been a legal outrage in Minneapolis. And this is what you get. It's, you know, this is reaping more than what you sow. And for those who are doing it because they may have a bigger agenda in mind, which is a fascist America, This is the time to fight back. This is the time to say, no, you don't get to. And it's going to be, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but this is not going to go away. And it shouldn't go away. Because if we're going to be the America we keep saying we are, all of it's got to stop.
And I think part of that is, not just part of it, a huge issue here is people feeling comfortable in silence or in neutrality. If you're not speaking out against the killing of people like George Floyd, you're part of the problem at this point. And I think that includes police in my mind. Look, of course there are good police in the world. I don't think anyone has ever tried to debate that, really.
The vast majority of.
And we don't have to keep talking about it. We get it. That's kind of their job, is to be good. You know, that's part of the job description, is to be good. They're supposed to be the good guys, right? So I don't see why that even bears mention anymore. And at this point, when I look at something... I assume most people have seen more videos than they would like to have seen of the murder of George Floyd at this point. And I don't understand. If I'm a police officer, and I'm a good police officer, I'm screaming in outrage against that. How could you be a good cop and not speak out against that sort of behavior? And saying behavior is almost too light. It's murder. Well, how could you be a good cop and not oppose murder, no matter who committed it?
How do you not shove the officer off the victim's neck at that point? Like, physically remove him from the situation, saying that, okay, if this was a move to detain said subject, we have done so. And by the way, there is nothing in the world that puts you in more responsible fashion for someone else's life than taking them into custody. There is a sacred bond that is there. And to take someone into custody and then kill them. Or here's the deal. Even if you didn't do it, they accidentally died under your custody. You are wholly responsible for that happening. So when you are literally the person who's creating the pressure point of asphyxiation till death, you're responsible for that happening too. And why three other cops didn't take the main cop and get him the hell off that man who was, again, not a violent criminal, had passed a false 20.
And not moving.
Yeah.
After a certain point, not moving. And you know, not as though things were flying out of hand all over the place and they lost track of things and someone died. His neck was knelt on until long after he stopped moving, while people gathered around and screamed, "For God's sakes, he's not moving." I mean, that's what we saw in that video. And how anyone could see that, on top of all the other senseless killings of unarmed, not dangerous black men.
I mean, do you remember?
While at the same time, white serial killers and white mass murderers are brought in without incident repeatedly. How could you see all that and not think there's a problem?
Two guys in Atlanta, in their truck, run down and gun down a black man for jogging through a neighborhood that they deemed he wasn't supposed to be in. Three different district attorneys looked at the same video we all saw and thought, I don't think I see anything here. The district attorney in Minnesota looked at that and said, we don't need to rush to judgment here or anything. I mean, it's what the hell are the good guys waiting for to do some good? And here's the deal. At this point, if you ain't a good guy, by definition, you're a bad guy. That's the way this works. We are picking our sides. There's no more straddling this fence. Not anymore. Brian in Palo Alto, thanks for the call, Brian. You're on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're great.
I know. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that I think obviously you guys are well-intentioned, as am I. But the reality is the sort of radicalization of the right, you know, over the last 10, 15 years. And there's obviously all been racism in this country for a long time. But just it's become so common for these, like, pretty extreme, racist, white supremacist viewpoints to live and exist amongst us. Like, I had an interaction with somebody on Facebook today, sort of a coach with a name a lot of people know, and he was fully supportive of white supremacists storming state capitals with machine guns and threatening to kill governors, but ripping on protesters over the death and murder of an innocent black man. And this kind of racism, it's not uncommon. And it's like, these are people that walk amongst us every day. They're more than willing to have their viewpoints out in the open. And we watch in silence, right?
There's been a vacuum created to allow racist conversation to flow more naturally than it's ever flowed ever before. I mean, it really is something else. Brian, you bring up great points, and we thank you for listening. We thank you for being a part of the conversation. Our conversation now turns to Mark Spears as we move into our 3 o'clock hour.